ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. President Biden again pushing Congress to act on a border deal.
In November, my team began serious negotiations with a bipartisan group of senators led by a very serious conservative Republican senator, as well as Democrats. The result was a compromise bill of the toughest border security reforms this country's ever seen.
His comments during an address to the League of Cities in D.C. Lawyers for E. Jean Carroll requested that Judge Lewis Kaplan approve Donald Trump's $92 million bond. The former president lost a defamation case brought by the columnist who claims he sexually assaulted her in a department store dressing room in the 1990s. New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez pleaded not guilty to obstruction charges in an indictment that was added to the bribery and corruption charges he already faced. Stocks are lower so far today. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Seven of the nine people killed in a buggy crash in central Wisconsin Friday were from an Amish community in Virginia. The crash of the tanker truck between Neillsville and Black River Falls is one of the deadliest in Wisconsin history. The only survivor is a two-year-old boy. The presidential campaign returns to Wisconsin this week. President Biden will take his message to Milwaukee on Wednesday.
He's focused on preserving democracy in this country after insurrectionists stormed the Capitol and tried to overturn the free and fair election results, restore Roe versus Wade after Donald Trump appointed Supreme Court justices that overturned it, and keeping the greatest American comeback story going.
White House Communications Director Ben LaBolt speaking to ABC News. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The lack of snow this winter could make grass fire season arrive earlier than usual, and the city of Duluth is preparing now. According to fire officials, grass fires are very dangerous in these conditions because they can spread quickly when the grass is dry. To help combat the fires, the city has guidelines for how bonfires should be built, and the Duluth Fire Department has a variety of gear aimed to help them address this specific concern. Officials also recommend people keep a hose ready in case a grass fire does start. Experts are warning that Wisconsin could see an early start to the wildfire season thanks to the mild winter. According to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, the state has already seen some wildfires in the southern regions and a few up north. Officials say that because of the high temperatures and low humidity, the stage is set for a perfect storm of dangerous wildfires. A number of counties have already put burn bans into effect to minimize the fire danger amid the warm winter and ongoing droughts. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Badgers get iced. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports men's college hockey. The Badgers losing at home to Ohio State 3-1 in the Kohl Center. It was game three of a best of three game series. The Buckeyes with a losing record now advance in the Big Ten tournament, while the Badgers with the second best record will wait to find out in 2 weeks where they'll be seated in the NCAA tournament. The Badgers women's hockey team winning 6-3 against OSU Saturday in a competition in Minneapolis. College basketball, Marquette, the number three seed in the Big East tournament after beating Xavier. They'll play on Thursday. Wisconsin is the number five seed in the Big Ten tournament after losing on the road to Purdue 78-70. The Badgers will either face Maryland or Rutgers Thursday afternoon at 1:30 at the Target Center in Minneapolis. NBA, the Bucks with a 124-117 win over the Clippers. Is the chemistry between Damian Lillard and Giannis improving?
It's getting better and better. They're trusting it. You put two great players together.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Unseasonable warmth today under sunny skies as highs soar to 60 degrees. after reaching record-breaking highs, will become mostly cloudy tonight and fall into the mid-30s. But with breezy winds, there's a high fire danger risk, so keep that in mind. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 48.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Tune in for a big Monday edition of the Devil's Advocates radio show. We'll take your phone calls. We'll give you all the headlines. Devil's Advocates, 4 to 6 statewide.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is Monday, March 11th, 2024. It is now 12 minutes past the hour. Pardon me, it is 6 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. And we welcome you in on a Monday with breaking news across the Civic Media Radio Network from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter Kelly Meyerhofer. The University of Milwaukee closing the UW Waukesha campus, citing enrollment and financial pressures. Good afternoon, everybody. Mr. Zommer is on the board. Not the news we anticipated coming to you with on this Monday, but thanks to Luke Mathers, our executive producer, and our fine news team. We are covering this for you. It is breaking at this hour. Again, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, great reporter Kelly Meyerhofer, the University of Milwaukee will close its Waukesha campus at the end of the spring 2025 semester, eliminating an educational option that has been around since 1966. Now, we've been on this story of the two-year campuses for now over a year and a half. Shortly after we came onto the air with this show, a year and a half ago, about 3 weeks, Mr. Zommers, if I remember right, Jay Rothman, the president of the UW system, first announced suspension of in-person classes at UW-Richland and then eventually closed the campus there with no local input. And this is now the fifth two-year campus that Jay Rothman at UW system is closing with virtually no public input whatsoever. No public meetings, no meeting with local government, at least in open. Just going in and doing it. At Richland, he never even came and talked to the local community, never talked to anybody at the campus, just did it.
Right. If that story is how it's been for all of these, that is even more unacceptable and just unprofessional, because we talked to everybody involved in those decisions at the local level and had them on the show. None of them had any clue it was coming, and they spent countless hours and so much effort trying to do something about it and were just shot down.
We've talked to people like the vice dean at UW-Richland, John Poole. We've talked to people that were in the UW system, like Steve Wildeck, that worked in system offices. People who have been intimately knowledgeable about UW system finances and operations, and we can't find anyone who can tell us how this makes sense. Because the reality is that the return on investment of a two-year campus is pretty darn high. In other words, when you close one of these 2 years, you're not going to make up a lot of money. Really, the only way that you're going to close, make up a lot of, or a significant amount of money, about 7%, is by closing the entire two-year system, which all these two-year colleges now have been absorbed into the four years. They're basically branch campuses now of the four years. And Waukesha, now part of UW-Milwaukee, or soon to be, will be, past tense after another year. And look, I it's not that I'm the smartest guy in the world, and I don't like to be right, particularly about things like this, but I predicted a year and a half ago when they closed Richland, based on my experience. My grandmother was the first woman to serve as a dean at UW-Richland in the UW system. My family's worked in education. I've worked for people in the state legislature. Dale Schultz, former Senate Majority Leader, former chair of the Senate University Higher Ed Committee. So I know a thing or two about the way the UW system budget works and the operations. And I said then, look, this is a canary in the coal mine. A lot of people laughed. That's fine. But since then, UW Fond du Lac, UW Marinette, now UW Waukesha, all closed. I mean, it's just, it's tragic to see this. Let's go on with this story. We'll talk a little bit more about it. According to Kelly Meyerhofer of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, this is key. The closure also raises an alarm about the viability of the remaining UW branch campuses, all but one of which reported lower enrollment than Waukesha. Four of the 13 branch campuses have closed or are moving to an online model at the end of the school year. This spring, 672 students were enrolled in the Waukesha campus. Let me say that again. This spring, 672 students were enrolled in the Waukesha campus. Let me stop there on the story. When they closed Richland a year and a half ago, they had gone from around 500-something students down to around 50 or 60 within 4 years. And so Howard Markline, the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, who represents that area of the state in the state Senate, and Tony Kurtz, who is also on the Joint Finance Committee and represents that area, I was there. They looked the people, the good folks of Richland County, in the eye, and they said, well, there's no money. There's no money. We can't keep this going. There's no money. And then, of course, now that they've approved, and I'm glad they did, the engineering building for UW-Madison, Tony Kurtz said on this network a couple of weeks ago, well, there's money, there's just no enrollment. We just can't keep doing this if there's no... They blamed closing Richland on low enrollment. Said it was all about enrollment at Richland Center. Waukesha has currently 672 students, the second highest enrollment of the two-year colleges. This is not about enrollment, folks. As my old professor at UW-Platteville, Jack O'Neill, was fond of saying every class period, he'd write a big old dollar sign up on the blackboard or the dry erase board. He'd point his thumb over his shoulder. He'd look us all in the eye and say, all comes down to that. What's new in your world of broadcast communication? I thought, what the heck is he talking about? Jack O'Neill is absolutely right. It all comes down to the dollar sign, and now this is coming out. It has nothing to do with low enrollment. It's the fact that UW-Milwaukee and other 4 years have dug themselves into a financial deficit, and now they're using the 2 years to try to dig them out. It has to do with the fact that Jay Rothman, the president of the UW system, is the former president of Foley and Lardner in Milwaukee, one of the largest law firms in America. What do the heads of law firms do, really? I mean, unlike Boston Legal and Denny Crane, they don't try a lot of cases in court. They're money managers. They make drastic cuts. They close satellite offices. They cut staff. They get rid of the high-priced coffee. It's all about financials. I think that Jay Rothman's goal here is to make sure that he gets the UW system into the black, and he doesn't care how many places he has to close. If you look at the graph in this Milwaukee Journal Sentinel story right now online, you can see it. It's graphed out perfectly. As Kelly Meyerhofer reports, Waukesha has the second highest enrollment, only behind UW-Rock County, which tells me all of these 2 years are gone. Every dang one of them. And by the way, before we blame this all on Republicans, Where is the statement from our education governor, Tony Evers, on this? Where's Francesca Hong? Where's Sheila Stubbs? Where are these Democrats that were up in arms about getting rid of DEI, which I stood up for as well? Where are the Democrats on this? Back to this story. As we said this spring, 672 students were enrolled in the Waukesha campus. In 2018, when UW-Milwaukee absorbed oversight of the campus as part of the UW system-wide restructuring, enrollment topped nearly 1,800. Quote, as students' demands change, universities must change, unquote, according to UW-Milwaukee Chancellor Mark Mohn said in a statement. And before people think that the local chancellors are responsible for this, think again. These orders are coming from the top down, from Rothman himself. According to the Journal Sentinel story, the closure will affect more than 100 employees, 100 employees, including tenured faculty. Some of the faculty work at UWM's other branch campus in West Bend and are hoping to teach at the Waukesha after UWM announced last fall that Washington County campus would close at the end of the school year. Waukesha County Technical College may, keyword may, hire some of the UWM employees as enrollment grows, according to a university statement. The technical college will also develop a UWM University Center for students seeking a four-year degree to help transferring to UWM. And get this, for all you listeners listening in on the Shaw, W-A-U-K, down in Waukesha, how would you like this? If you lived in Waukesha, this is your county executive, former Republican state senator Paul Farrow, son of former Republican governor, Lieutenant Governor Margaret Farrow. Waukesha County Executive Paul Farrow called the closure of the campus in Waukesha, quote, an innovative action, unquote, and said it was, quote, best for Waukesha County. It provides certainty for planning purposes and creates a consistent pathway to access higher education for our residents. I'm optimistic for the future of higher education in Waukesha, unquote. That's Paul Farrow, the top elected official in a county that just lost a major educational institution. They are complicit, folks. I can feel this in my bones. As certainly as when I told you a year and a half ago that Richland was only the start, there is some sort of a political cabal that goes across party lines. And I don't understand why people are letting the Wisconsin idea die on the vine. Go up to Bascom Hill. It is literally put in bronze on Bascom Hall. The consistent winnowing and sifting of ideas whereby the truth alone may be found. It's one of the main... That's what inspired our tagline of pursuing truth wherever it may lead, the Wisconsin idea. And today, Waukesha campus becomes the fifth victim in what I believe will be all to your campus's closing. What are your thoughts? We'd love to have you involved. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Give us a call. Come back and talk more about this breaking news. Again, the Waukesha campus announced Jay Rothman is closing it. We'll have more details, your phone calls as well. It's a special edition of the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Tax Talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give. This tax season you get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data and a Samsung Galaxy A14 included when you buy an extended Silver Unlimited plan. Yeah. So you can give your janky phone to your kid.
Yeah! Switch to Straight Talk for plans starting as low as $25 a line per month for 4 lines. Find us at straighttalk.com.
For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com. Device offer ends 4/14/24. Online only. Family plan discount with four lines all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Taxes and fees apply.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on Lake Air 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WLAK. And on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Not so much fun today. Another two-year campus, UW-Waukesha, like they call it, UW-Milwaukee-Waukesha now, because it is a branch campus of Milwaukee. But Jay Rothman, system president, has closed another two-year institution in this state of public higher education without any access or input from the public. By the way, I saw the vice president of system, Jeff Brandt, walking down just below our studios actually on Friday in a very nice high-priced natty suit. Had to get retailored. Looks like it's put on a few pounds, but looking very nice. I think he gets paid $250,000 a year, last I looked.
Yeah, I remember that number. Yeah.
These people at system getting paid $250,000 a year. Meanwhile, they're closing campuses and killing the Wisconsin idea. Off the text line, WRCE in Richland Center, one of our listeners on the closure of UW Richland last year, which is part of Platteville, or was, says, quote, Republicans love to blame UW Platteville. They should take a stroll back to 2011. When Walker was destroying the system, unquote. Agreed. I was there in the building when Republicans cut funding. I get it. And Republicans certainly have starved. The system has over $1 billion in their own house. System has $1 billion sitting around. That's system. The state of Wisconsin has over $4 billion. In surplus. But nope, no money for higher education in the state of Wisconsin. So yeah, Republicans are complicit, but here is what Democratic Governor Tony Evers said at a WISP politics luncheon just a while back, and our own Terry Bell covered this. This is Governor Evers talking about this just about a month and a half ago at a WISP politics luncheon.
I anticipate there will be more two-year campuses closed down. It's going to be painful, though. And I think Jay and the Board of Regents are doing the best job possible.
Governor, with all due respect, have a public listening session in Waukesha and ask the folks in Waukesha if they think that Jay and the Board of Regents are doing as good a job as they can. That's the thing, folks. This is why you know there's some kind of a backroom deal, because neither the governor nor Republicans nor Democrats in the legislature or Jay Rothman at system will go and have actual public meetings, not somewhere where you have invited guests, not somewhere in a closed room of a campus. Go to the library of Waukesha, announce it 2 weeks in advance and have a 2-hour listening session and see how many people show up. Go to Washington County and do the same thing. Go to Fond du Lac and do the same thing. Go to Marinette and do the same thing. Go to Richland Center. Well, it's too late for them. Sorry. They don't want to face the public when it comes to public higher education. As they say, something's not kosher in the deli. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Lots of calls. We're going to get to them in the order that you called. Stay on the line. Jack and Merrimack, you're up first. What say you?
Well, first of all, the fault, I sincerely believe, does lie with the Republicans. They have simply refused to finance appropriately the UW system. And with literally billions in surplus, they're still reserving billions. What are they reserving it for? I mean, you know, they're yeah, okay, a little bit for a rainy day fund, but my personal opinion is that they're trying to reserve it and figure out a way that they can give it to their high-priced owners, I mean donors, and not give it to public education. And this is the issue with Republicans. They have fought public education, at least in my knowledge, for about 50 years, maybe longer. I don't know about that. But in the 1970s, I was reading about this, you know, this sort of attack on public education.
Yeah.
And it continues. You know, cut.
Well, I mean, you had the Hortonville strike. You had the Fenimore situation, and it really wasn't until the late great Morris Andrews, the former head of the teachers union, stood up to this and organized, and teachers and the teachers union got organized, and there hadn't been a strike since that peace that was negotiated by Morris Andrews. And then you had Morris actually work with former Republican Governor Tommy Thompson through the QEO, the Qualified Economic Offer. And then it wasn't until Scott Walker came along in 2011 and did Act 10, which essentially neutered politically and legally the teachers union. And you're right. There has been a complete war by Republicans. I agree with that. But I also want to know why Tony Evers is rolling over and not fighting. That doesn't make sense to me.
That's a very good question. Evers should be out stumping about this, and so should every Democrat in our legislature.
Yep. Agreed.
One of Evers' problems is that he is not forceful enough about things like this. And don't get me wrong, I like a lot of stuff.
Here's my message, Jack, for Tony Evers on this. Governor, I'm jazzed as hell that you're not out there fighting for higher education right now. Let's go to Teresa in Lodi. Teresa, thanks for calling. What say you?
Did you say Teresa?
Yep, Teresa, you're on. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. I agree with the last caller. I think it's attack on public education at what they've always wanted to do. I don't think it's a budget thing at all. They have plenty of money. But I also think that they would like to limit access to education to who they consider the elite that deserve to get an education. And by closing these two-year campuses and making it not as accessible to in those areas, they can limit who actually gets an education.
Yeah, this is not by accident. I agree with you absolutely, Teresa.
No.
Thanks for the call. 855-752-4842. Let's go to quickly to Carol in Madison. Carol, thanks for calling. What say you?
Hi. You know, this on top of, there was a news story just a few days ago about how the Republicans are firing Dana Walks and another person who is on the Board of Regents. And I think that probably Dana Walks and this other man who was on the Board of Regents may have put up a fuss about this. And so the Republicans want to fire them now. So I think there are a few people who are saying something, but the Republicans want to shut them up. And I hope that if Dana Walks really gets fired, that he opens his mouth and tells us exactly what the hell is going on at the Board of Regents, because it's like nobody knows, and that's not supposed to be a secret organization.
Exactly. You nailed it on the head, Carol. Thank you for the call. Dana Walks is a big-time attorney himself, and I admire him for standing up for DEI, and that you're right. That's why Republicans took up his confirmation and voted him down, essentially fired him. But where is the chutzpah? Where's the tenacity? Where's the character of the Board of Regents? They are the boss of Jay Rothman. You're right. It is a public institution. Why aren't the Board of Regents telling us exactly what's going on? Stay tuned. Mark is up next. More of your phone calls. We are talking about the breaking news. Jay Rothman closes down UW-Milwaukee Waukesha. More on the other side. Your news starts now.
Tune into the Earl Ingram Show Tuesday at 8 a.m. for my regular conversation
with Sandy Williams. I'm Earl Ingram.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on, but eventually I learned I had anxiety. Now I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You're in the market for a new backup generator ahead of the summer storm season. The Propane Education and Research Council recommends a propane-powered generator. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, catching up with Mike Newland. He's the Director of Agriculture Business Development at the council. He says Wisconsin farmers especially can see a lot of benefits from moving to more propane power.
We are doing a tremendous amount of backup power, but also prime power. As electricity continues to rise around the country in rates, we can produce power very efficiently and effectively, cost effectively, with propane directly on the farm. The really cool thing about our fuel that I don't know that we get a lot of credit for, don't have to contain it. We don't have to have containment dikes. We don't have to worry about fuel condition. If you're using a diesel for backup power, you've got fuel condition concerns, those types of things, propane can sit in a tank indefinitely and be ready to run when you're ready, when you need it.
Mike Newland with the Propane Education and Research Council says Wisconsin is among the top five states to rely on propane for heating homes and drying grain, for example. And now they're trying to grow the use of propane-powered generators on the farm. We'll take a look at our midday commodity markets next.
In our world of agriculture, weather conditions rule our workday. The Midwest Farm Report and the National Weather Service are recruiting citizen scientists to help keep an eye on Mother Nature. You can help by taking real-time weather observations and alerting the National Weather Service about severe weather occurring where you are. Everyday people such as yourself play a vital role in protecting lives and property. To find out how you can become a citizen scientist, visit WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org.
One of the biggest logistical challenges for many farmers often occurs on the roads just outside their farms. Wisconsin farmers help feed the world. They need to have reliable roads to get food from the farm to the market. Encourage your town or county to apply for the Agricultural Roads Improvement Program. $50 million are available now to fix the posted roads that have been holding you back. The deadline to apply is April 5th. Find the application materials at MidwestFarmReport.com.
Monday from Chicago, cash corn is trading down 2 cents at 4.37¾. December new crop corn is down a penny and 3/4 at 4.70¼. Cash soybeans are down 4¾ cents at 11.79¼. And November new crop beans are trading down a penny and 3/4 at 11.72 a bushel. Cash wheat is trading up 8 cents at 5.45¾. And July new crop wheat is up 8¼ cents at 5.58½. The April Class 3 milk contract is trading up a penny at $16.09 a hundredweight. The May contract is showing a little more strength, up 12 cents at $16.60 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Unseasonable warmth today under sunny skies as highs soar to 60 degrees. After reaching record-breaking highs, we'll become mostly cloudy tonight and fall into the mid-30s. But with breezy winds, there's a high fire danger risk, so keep that in mind. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 49.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in, goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
We'll be right back.
truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Well, most days we try to have fun. This one is a bit more serious. Not a lot of fun here at all, but we are pursuing the truth. Talking about the breaking news story, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, great reporting by Kelly Meyerhofer, the University of Milwaukee, Waukesha campus is closing. President Jay Rothman continues to cite enrollment and financial pressure. And looking at the graph and the great reporting by Kelly Meyerhofer from the Journal Sentinel, Waukesha has the second highest enrollment of the 2 years behind only Rock County. And it's probably, it looks like 50 to 75 students. 672 are enrolled currently at the Waukesha campus, but that's not enough. What that tells me is Jay Rothman is going to close every one of the two-year campuses across the state eventually. And you combine that, this statistical information, what Jay Rothman has said, along with what Democratic Governor Tony Evers, we played the cut for the Wisp Politics luncheon about a month or two ago, in which he just says, yeah, I think that more of them are going to close on Jay Rothman and the border regions are doing as well as they can. The Wisconsin idea, folks, is dying on the vine. And the system itself, UW system, has $1 billion plus in reserve, $1 billion plus in reserve. The state of Wisconsin has $4 billion with a B, cash on hand, surplus. It's not about money. It's not about enrollment. It's about the fact that there has been some sort of, in my opinion, unholy cabal to get rid of these 2 years, to let them die. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Go to the SAC, Prayer to SAC. Mark and Prayer to SAC, thanks for holding through the break. What say you, friend?
Yeah, well, it certainly isn't kosher because I think Scott Walker left his ham sandwich someplace and it's still rotting and stinking away.
Agreed. But, nicely done.
And what occurs to me is, some song lyrics that from the opening of Justice League's Leonard Cohen song, Everybody Knows, sung by Sigrid, that, I mean, it just kind of encapsulates, the attitude we can't fall into, but just, kind of is what we got with these guys.
Right.
And that the dice are loaded and as one line says, the poor stay poor and the rich get rich. And that's what, all these Steppenwolf singing, right, serving people in politics are, that's what they're there for.
Mark, you're a smart guy. We appreciate you're a regular listener. You stay on top of the news. I agree with other callers that the majority of blame and focus should be on Republican lawmakers, certainly on Scott Walker, the former governor, who gutted education and targeted higher education and public education. A great story in the Des Moines Register, an editorial, this month, actually, the 11th. So I guess today, actually, headline, Iowa Republicans draw up a destructive blueprint for public universities. I'll read you just a couple of sentences. I want to get your reaction. It says, House file, in Iowa they call it the House instead of the Assembly, House file 2558, the Higher Education Reform Act of 2024, is a sweeping bill affecting three state universities' financing, organization, and oversight. It's also hyperbolic and paternalistic, with tactics akin to lobbing hand grenades to try to weed your backyard garden. And then it skips ahead and it lists some. I mean, they are trying to micromanage every aspect of their public universities in Iowa. The Republicans are. I think Republicans are trying to do the same thing here. I put the majority of the blame. But, Mark, with your insight, yes or no, why is Tony Evers just acquiescing on this? Where are these Democrats in the legislature that rightly stood up for DEI who are silent when we close these 2 years? I don't understand why it is a bipartisan silence to let this happen.
I certainly think that Tony Evers needs to start talking about this, and be more proactive in defending our educational institutions. But maybe they're hoping for a change in the legislature so we can, claw back some of the losses that we've made.
But once these 2 years are gone, they're gone. I mean, they're not going to reopen them.
Yeah, and that's... And that's the problem. But they're not getting. But we got till 25 on some of them, I believe.
No, Waukesha, they're saying till 25. But it's just like Richland. Once you announce the campus is going to close, kids aren't going to enroll there. Faculty are going to move away. It's done. It's over.
And I think something needs to happen is about getting the public behind reopening those institutions and turning them into the economic engines that they are, that Republicans refuse to believe that higher education is in value of itself. I mean, it's what produces good citizens. They want us to be helots to their being Spartans, apparently. Yeah. And I just read a book on the Spartans, and the Spartans were not all that great.
I like that. Mark, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for calling in, my friend. Really appreciate it. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You can also text on the Civic Media app. Lots of calls would take you in order. Do not hang up. As our friend likes to say, we see you on the lines. Ron in Milwaukee, listening in on WAUK, the Shaw. Speaking of Waukesha, Ron, what say you?
Well, I agree with you in part, I think Egress is pretty smart. He's pretty smart about public education. He used to be the superintendent of it. And I think what's going on here is I think this is being thrown out to him by the Republicans and saying, look, we're willing to deal, but we're not willing to deal in public because we're going to take a lot of flack for it. And, and we'll make sure you get a lot of flack, too, if we get flack. So let's talk in private, see what we can work out in advance. I don't know it's bad in terms of form, but in terms of getting things done these days, I'm afraid there's more of that going on than not.
I don't disagree, Ron. But what's the deal? What's higher education getting in those private talks? Because all they're doing is continuing to close campuses.
Well. We don't know what the deal is, but if Evers didn't think he could get something back for this close of these closings, but remember, these closings are in rural, relatively small town places. There's a 2-year campus in Wausau. I mean, that's about as big a town as it gets for a 2-year.
But Ron, that's the whole point of the Wisconsin. The Wisconsin idea is the borders of the university are the borders of the state. That you just define the Wisconsin. So in other words, you're saying, well, if it's a rural place, just go ahead and close it?
Todd, you forget that before 1970, there were two university systems in the state. The state university colleges, 4 years, and the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And the 2-year campuses really didn't exist.
Yes.
UW felt threatened by the growth of the state universities, and rightfully so. So they started building 2-year campuses, and they built a bunch of 4-year campuses, Parkside, UWM, and Green Bay. And so, hang on, I'm driving here.
Well, be careful. Don't have an accent. But you're laying out my entire argument. My grandmother was the first woman to be a dean of a 2-year campus or any campus in the UW system. She was part of building the UW system. I mean, the whole premise of the system, and it was advanced by people like Lee Sherman Dreyfus and other Republicans, as well as Democrats. It was a bipartisan idea. It was first started by Republican and then progressive, fighting Bob La Follette. The whole idea was that the more educated our public is, the Wisconsin is, it raises the entire state. And remember, the university isn't just about liberal, quote unquote, with a small L education. It's also about the agriculture. Extension. Think of that. That serves all 72 counties of our state.
And there are extension offices run by the university in every county of the state. Well, the other thing, remember, you're right. It was a bipartisan effort. When Pat Lucey said we're going to combine the two systems, there was a lot of flack over that. And the only way it worked was that there was a bipartisan approach to it. And also the state university figured we're going to get a little bit more out of this. But remember, too, that after that merger, Wisconsin, with a population of like 4.5 million, 5 million, had the third largest public university system in the nation. And that just doesn't fly. It doesn't make any sense.
It was when you look at the economic return for communities, when you look at the economic return on education, you could not get a better economic deal than the 2-year campuses around the state. That's just the fact. But I appreciate the call, Ron. Thank you so much. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Cindy in Appleton. Cindy, what say you? Cindy, are you there? Cindy, no. from Appleton.
I am there.
You are on the phone. You're on the line. Go ahead, Cindy.
Well, you know why they're closing the two-year campuses? Because that's where they're going to start. The 4 years will be next. But they want to change the child labor laws to have 14, 15, 16-year-olds in the job market working. Mm-hmm. Because by the time they get to be 17, 18, they'll be so proficient at their jobs, they won't need to go to school.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that. I mean, they're trying to, Republicans in the legislature introducing bills to let 14-year-olds work, you know, serve alcohol in bars. You know, and of course, they rail about, oh my gosh, you know, immigrants are taking our jobs. Well, there's not enough people to fill. Have you been to a restaurant lately and seen entire sections closed down in the middle of the day and there's a line out the door? The reason is they can't find people to work. You know, what about health care? I mean, we are having a crisis in the state with health care workers. We can't train them fast enough and we're closing down universities. I mean, it's appalling. But I agree with you. And also, I agree with you, Cindy, that there's going to be at some point at this rate, after they close all the 2 years, there's either Superior or Parkside, there's going to be a four-year campus that goes down too.
Yep.
Appreciate the call, Cindy. Thank you so much. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Bill in Oconomowoc. Bill, thanks for holding. What say you?
Hey, great topic. You know, as far as education in this state, when it comes to Republicans, they don't mind taking taxpayer money and funding their private schools and colleges. But they don't want public education to be successful. Why? Because if you send kids to public education, they understand how to think. And that's not a good thing for Republicans. And here's what I mean by it. They want them sent to their schools, their teachings, Hillsdale College. I can give you all the private schools in the area. They want them to be brought up conservative.
There's a lot
they don't want them to be open-minded. That's why there's so much against this.
There's
it's
so
not
much.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say there's so much truth to that. There's a lot of truth to that, Bill, is that they want control. They don't want any sort of ideas that they don't agree with religious values. They don't want their kids to be challenged. They want them to be in a vacuum. But isn't it ironic, Bill? Scott Walker had the means which to send his kid to any university, public or private, in the country. Where did Scott Walker send his kid? The University of Wisconsin, Madison.
Well, with Scott Walker, when he gutted education, if Democrats as a whole would say, we got to roll back all that damage that he did, we get back to where we need to go. I don't think the public's aware of how much taxpayer money funds private schools.
Oh, yeah.
They don't. Republicans are very afraid of you talking about that, because when taxpayers wake up and say, wait a minute, I don't need the private schools. They can take care of themselves. I sent my kids to private education. I didn't expect a taxpayer, and they didn't pay for it. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is we've got to pull back the curtain and expose them for what they are. And Scott Walker was the king of this. And if we roll back all the damage that Scotty done, that's 20 years to even try and attempt that. But at least we've got to make them aware. And your show does make them aware, by the way.
Well, we appreciate that.
You really educate people and keep it up. Just keep it up. Have a great day, but thanks for letting me vent my spleen.
Absolutely. Bill Oconomowoc, welcome anytime. And really what makes the show go is, I know Jay and Matt Nair feels the same way and other hosts. I mean, it's folks like you. It's people that call in and participate, sometimes bring in knowledge that I don't have or others don't have. We're in this together, folks. And this is the great, you know, strength of civic media being statewide, is if we get this information out there, these facts, this truth, that your Bill's right. We have to hold elected officials and those who are running for public office accountable. That's the only way to do it. Quickly off the text line, Liz in Saukville, listening in on WAUK, says, I love your show, Todd. Thank you very much for that. Two-year colleges are critical to many young people, and this is terrible for Wisconsin. I think the Republicans just want to squash education, because the more knowledge you have, the less chance you'll vote for Republicans, unquote. Nicely done. Liz in Saukville, you can text us as well. Also, give us a call, 855-752-4842. More calls the other side. We see you. Do not hang up. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
As you age, you may have questions about finding transportation, healthy meals, or other services around your home and in your community. And the Elder Care Locator has the answers at 1-800-677-1116. Our caring advisors can connect you to trustworthy local experts and the support you need to age well at home. Real people, real assistance, and real connections are just a phone call away with the Elder Care Locator. 1-800-677-1116.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. It's the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network for a Monday, March 11th, 2024, 10 now before the hour of 1 o'clock. Coming up in the next hour, what we're actually going to start the show with, but we will get to it in next hour, Donald Trump campaigning this weekend starts off by making fun of Joe Biden's stutter. What would you do if your kid was bullying another kid, making fun of their speech impediment? How would you feel if the kid being made fun of was your kid? Also, Don Jr., the son of the Republican presumptive presidential nominee, the brother-in-law of the newly chaired RNC chairwoman, Laura Trump, Don Jr., says the old Republican Party is dead and that they have no interest in having rhinos or anybody who's not MAGA. We'll talk about that and much more. So that's all coming up in hour number two. But right now we're talking about the breaking news story. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, great reporting by Kelly Meyerhofer. Great heads up by our own Luke Mathers as this broke about an hour ago. University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee in Waukesha. The two-year campus at Waukesha. President Jay Rothman, president of the UW system, has closed yet another campus. The tally is up to 5. They keep citing enrollment as the reason they're closing these campuses. Waukesha has the second highest enrollment of the 2 years, only slightly behind UW-Rock County, which says to me that everything is on the chopping block. They're going to close all these 2 years. If that's the criteria, enrollment, well, they're going to close all of them. As we predicted, unfortunately, a year and a half ago when we were in Richland Center. Off the text line, WMDX, listening here in Madison. Caller says, haven't the Republicans stacked the Board of Regents too, unquote. Thanks for the text. At last check, I believe now, Governor Evers has a majority of appointments on the Board of Regents. There are still a couple of holdovers from the Walker administration, but I believe Tony Evers has a majority on the Board of Regents, which is why this is so confounding to me. The Board of Regents are they're like the Board of Directors for the university system, a public system. Why aren't they, if they've decided, here's my big point, folks. If there has been an agreement between Governor Evers and Republican leadership and the Board of Regents and Jay Rothman system, and they've looked at everything, they've said, maybe like, was it Ron, one of our callers? Maybe they said, look, we just feel we have too many higher ed institutions in this state, given our population. So we're making a decision that we're going to close them. If that's what's been decided, I'll disagree with that. But then hold a public meeting and announce that. Don't be coy and hide behind glass doors and security guards and press releases. Tell folks. Just tell us the truth. We're big enough to handle it, both Republicans and Democrats. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to Stephen in Green Bay. Stephen, what say you?
Yeah, I've said this many times on your show, Todd. The university system is the backbone of Wisconsin. And every time they close the door on one of these two-year universities, they are closing another door on Wisconsin's institution. People don't think about the fact that when people come to these universities, a large amount of those people stay in Wisconsin and actually contribute to the state, mm-hmm. not to mention a lot of them also while they're in school work and contribute to our economies in their respective schools. Now, I live in Green Bay, and Marinette was canned.
Yep.
And I don't think that it has anything to do with enrollment. I think it has everything to do with their attack on higher education. And I really think that when they're closing these two-year universities, that it should be on a ballot, like a referendum for a high school, and it should be a question. Do you want us to close the school or not?
Yeah.
We as taxpayers should have a say-so if these schools close. It's our money that is paying for these schools. They're public universities, and we have absolutely no say in what happens to them. I think it's absolutely appalling.
Thanks, David. Really appreciate it. Up against the clock here. Let's go quickly to David in Mequon. David, thanks for calling. What say you?
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Of course.
This is all about money, plain and simple.
Agreed.
Power. And when I say that, I mean, realistically, they can get, the UW system can get a lot more money out of a four-year student as opposed to a two-year technical college or a two-year school. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the cost between a four-year and a two-year university, there's an exponential cost. And in order to raise revenue, well, you're going to direct the kids to be pushed into four-year universities. And in that way, everybody's kind of like a happy camper because now UW gets more money. They push more kids into a bigger university. Maybe it's Madison, Eau Claire, Milwaukee, right. Whatever, La Crosse.
Go ahead.
But I do think that that's another part of this because you're asking why is Tony Evers not pushing back? Like I said, it's about money and power.
Yeah, I agree with that. The only people that are unhappy, of course, are those who can't afford the higher increases and have to drive further to get it. So let's go quickly to Peggy in Brooklyn. Peggy, you have the last word this hour. Peggy, go ahead.
If you want to continue,
well, Peggy had a little dialing problem. Peggy hung on as long as she could, but that's fine. Peggy, call back. We'll take your call the next hour. Look, I mean, this great reporting here again by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Apparently, they're going to have a press conference on this at 2:00. Civic Media News will be covering that. Terry Bell and his news team will be all over it. We'll bring you further reports throughout the day. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. It's all, of course, not all, but much of it started back in 2018 with what reporting here says a Hail Mary when former President Ray Cross decided to can Kathy Sandeen's plan, Chancellor Sandeen, who we've had on this show, to save all the 4 years, all the 2 years. And Cross just said, no, I'm not going to do that, partly because I think, in my opinion, he didn't like the fact that a woman had written this. No one for that, by the way. We're going to come back very quickly. Let's get part of Mr. Perry's take there. Mr. Perry said, Jeff Perry on the Facebook, we know from listening to the program that this plan was presented could have been potentially saved, as we just said. This plan has been in the works for a long time. Evers must step up. Not only should be saving the Wisconsin idea, I also believe that railing against these closures would be a huge boost for his campaign. Come on, Governor! Exclamation point. Yeah, I mean, they talk about three-term Tony. Be a great thing to campaign on, I think, the Wisconsin idea. We're going to come back and talk about the Trumpster. Yes, he was bullying on the campaign circuit once again. We'll talk about it. Take your phone calls. Hour two of the show is next. Your news starts now.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Tuesday on Matt Nair on Air Up North News, Pat Quitlow joins us at 10:33. We talk all things maple syrup with Rick Glenna, and then we learn about Key Flag in Waukesha. Join us.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. President Biden challenging Republican lawmakers to, in his words, show some spine.